my guest is Jess Borland. Jess, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, David. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to meet you. I've heard your name many times before.
Yes, I think this is the first time we've met in person. Yep. Is at that conference.
This is my luck. What do you do, actually?
All right. So my title is Senior SQL Server Engineer at a Microsoft Partner Consulting Firm. So I do consulting on helping companies make their database servers faster and more reliable and upgraded to the latest version and just teaching people more about them.
It's funny. I use SQL Server a lot. I have throughout my career. But I don't talk about it that much. Like this show, I very seldom talk about SQL Server. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, and you know, I've had a couple comments today from people at that conference, which is a developer-focused conference. It's great. I love it here. And they say, for them, SQL Server is just there.
It should just work. Yeah, which
and
is
it
what
does
it should do.
Just work, which is fantastic to hear. My goal is just to teach them a little bit more about. Maybe once in a while you run into things that are a little bit slower and you want to make it a little bit faster or, you know, you want to do this cool thing that you heard about in another database service, and SQL Server keeps adding new features all the time.
They do.
So
I started with SQL Server 6.5, I think was the first version I used, and now they're on, I don't know, well, they stopped the numbering system, SQL Server 2016?
They did, yes. 2016 came out. Released on June 1st of 2016.
Okay, so just about 2 months ago from today.
Fresh off the presses.
Let's talk about what's new in SQL Server 2016. That's awesome.
So, I mean, it's still your basic relational database system, which is perfectly good. That's exactly what it's there for. But they've been adding a lot of things that make developer, in particular, lives easier. Just as we were sitting here getting ready, a woman across the table heard our topic, and she's like, date time support.
That was Maggie.
Yeah.
She's a big date time person.
Yeah, so that's
one
thing.
She wrote a JavaScript framework that supports date time.
That's awesome. So, right, Microsoft is listening to people that have these problems and trying to find ways to solve them.
Okay. Tell me about the date time support in SQL Server 2016 that didn't exist before.
Typically what you've had is different data types that are like date time. Okay. And when you enter data into it, it's just based on whatever the server time is.
Right.
And then they tried to make it a little bit more expansive with date time too, which goes down to, I believe, the microsecond. And then they tried to give us a date so you could just get the date, and a time so you could just get the time. But they never solved that fundamental problem of what is the server time versus the time that someone in a client application is looking at it, or someone on the other side of the world is looking at it at that same time.
Right, they left that up to developers to do.
Exactly. So they have implemented a data type in SQL Server that allows you to basically say, my location is this, which is my UTC offset, and based on the time that it was entered into the system in UTC, display this to every person. So
this is like a date time three or something.
Yeah, kind of.
It includes not only the date time, but also information about which time zone you're in.
Exactly. So that makes less work for the programmers, right? You don't have to write all of this code to try to interpret it back and forth, and then if the server time changes. Yeah, so that's really neat.
I like it.
Another thing I talked about with Maggie was JSON support. So JavaScript object notation, obviously that's become much more prevalent in the world.
Okay.
And Microsoft has added support for that.
How so?
We are now able to take a JSON document and using built-in SQL Server functions, read that so that the nested information can be stored directly into a relational table. So it flattens.
So it automatically parses out some JSON.
Correct. And vice versa. You can take the data that's stored in a relational table.
Oh, how nice.
Use a function, and it will make a notated document for you with all of the appropriate nesting levels.
Oh, that's great for web services that just expose things like OData that just return data across the web, because JSON has now become the de facto standard.
It's giving, again, it gives programmers more time to work on fun things and exciting things rather than trying to make things that should just work together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have written that code, and then I've discovered libraries that will actually do that code for it, but still. Now I don't even need a library. You're saying I can just do that. If all I want to do is just grab data, push it onto the client as JSON.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yep. What else?
All right. The next thing that I like talking about that is making SQL Server faster. There's almost every developer that works with SQL Server is familiar at some point in time when an application gets too busy with things like deadlocks. You know, you have two queries.
Is it DevOps?
A deadlock.
Deadlocks, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because SQL Server takes locks on its tables, and only one thing can be modifying data at a time.
Right.
And for most mid-use or low-level transactional systems, that's typically not a problem. Mm. But we're getting into this 24/7, 365, always connected world.
Right.
We have systems, especially with things like IoT, where we're gathering data from objects all over the world at an incredible rate.
Right.
We have to be able to process transactions faster.
Hmm.
We've kind of hit a threshold with SQL Server's internal mechanisms, no matter how good your hardware is. Solid state can only go so fast.
Okay.
Still. You still have to read the data off of the solid state and into memory, and the CPU has to process it. So this has been a known limitation to get really cutting-edge systems to go faster.
Hmm.
So a couple versions ago, Microsoft introduced a feature called In-Memory OLTP, which stands for In-Memory Online Transaction Processing, also known as In-Memory Tables.
Hmm. Okay.
And what they've done is they've, instead of having the tables live on disk, they actually live in memory, which means there's no round trip to storage to get them. And instead of having basically a primary key, foreign key relationship on data, everything essentially, in a very simplified term, has a date, a timestamp on it. It's down to a very, very granular level.
Okay.
And when one transaction needs to read the data in, it reads it, when it needs to write it, it just writes it. And even if 10 transactions want to write data, they all come in at slightly different times.
Okay.
And then when any other transaction needs to read it, it just looks for the most recent.
Okay.
They've been able to achieve not simply, you know, 10% faster or 20% faster. Customers are seeing 10x, like 10 time improvements.
Yeah, so an order of magnitude.
15 time improvements. So that's really significant.
That is. Now, it seems like there'll be a trade-off there in terms of latency, writing to the database, or maybe durability if something fails. And does it get flushed to disk? Are we risking by using this feature?
By default, yes. By default, it's truly in memory.
Yeah.
And if your server is lost for any reason, the transactions could be lost.
Okay.
There is the ability to turn durability on.
Okay, and that probably slow things down a little bit.
Exactly. The other real limitation of this in memory feature is you're using more memory, and
right.
SQL Server loves memory. As a longtime DBA, I can say that memory is SQL Server's favorite thing to eat for dinner.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, there are some trade-offs, but when you have a really highly transactional system that you need to just make better and perform better, it's Microsoft really thinking about how can we do this.
Okay, so this is an option available to you to see what is your priority. Is speed your priority? Is durability your priority?
Yep.
Is consistency your priority?
Mm-hmm.
If this is one thing. If speed is your ultimate priority, this will be the feature to use.
Absolutely.
For you.
And there are trade-offs like the durability, but the consistency is maintained. So you can still do primary keys, foreign keys, indexes. You have all of that. That main trade-off is that durability.
I see. What else?
All right, so another feature that I've come to really love in SQL Server is how they're handling security with the latest versions.
Okay.
Right, everyone,
that's a big topic these
everyone
days.
Using technology should be concerned about security. Mm. Most data breaches, or you know, the ones we don't hear about, are the ones from internal to an organization, where people that shouldn't have access to a specific set of data get it or could get it.
Mm.
We're addressing that in new versions of SQL Server. Couple of ways they're doing it. There's a new feature called dynamic data masking that I think developers should be aware of. So what this does, the data gets marked as masked in the database, and then it doesn't matter if you are, so it's not encrypted, but it has basically X's in place of whatever characters would be. So it doesn't matter
if you have a credit card, it'll have the pattern of a credit card, but not the numbers of the credit card.
Correct. A different character, essentially, in place of it. And so this prevents anyone that has access to the data, whether it's a DBA that has sysadmin rights and can just go into Management Studio, or another developer on a, you know, in a test system, from being able to see data they shouldn't. I think this is also great for people that are writing applications that are going to be used in public and what isn't. I think about how many times I've been on an airplane and the person just a row ahead of me and off to the side is working on their laptop.
Right.
And you're seeing sensitive business data.
Sure.
And that's not the business user's fault. I mean, the business isn't protecting it. So data masking is a really great way to just protect sensitive data from prying eyes.
Okay, so let me help me understand this. Is it actually stored as masked data?
It
or is.
Or
is it just when it's displayed that it's that we see?
It is stored and displayed with that mask on it.
So does that mean that if I have, for example, a phone number, that I don't have access to the entire phone number, I can't use that somewhere?
Correct. Unless you give someone, you have to actually assign specific people or specific logins, specific permission. Yes.
Yeah.
So you can do it by user or by group of
users. So it
is
actually storing the original number and a masked version of that number, and depending on what your rights are, that's what you'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So a little bit different take on it.
Yeah.
But it's been useful to some people, and I think it's great that it's being addressed.
Yep.
And then there's another big security feature that's come into play called Always Encrypted. And that solves the problem of there are applications that one business component or one group of developers owns, and they don't want anyone else outside of that business unit being able to see the data. Maybe they have like a third company or a third party DBA company, and those DBAs need sysadmin rights to be okay. able to take the backups and do all the maintenance checks, but nobody should be able to actually see the data.
I see.
We've had encryption features in SQL Server for some time.
Right.
You can encrypt a column. You can encrypt an entire database. But if someone has sysadmin rights to that database, they can still go in and just view the data.
Right.
So this Always Encrypted feature uses the latest .NET 4.6 driver. And you create the encryption keys on the application server.
I see.
So once the data enters the application, the driver, using this Always Encrypted method, encrypts the data right then and there. So both in transmission across the wire and on disk when it's stored in SQL Server, and then all the way back, it's encrypted the entire time.
Really nice turnkey solution for that.
Yeah. I gave a SQL Server 2016 roadshow event, and right after I mentioned Always Encrypted, a developer came up to me, and he said, I wish they'd had this 1 year ago. I just had to spend 3 months writing a solution to do that all myself.
I think everything you talked about, people have written tools to do this, either plugins for SQL Server or extra extensions to their application.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
code they no longer have to write for almost every feature you've mentioned so far.
Yeah, and these are...
We can mask data. We can have it display. I've seen web pages typically do that. They'll get the data, and then they'll mask it so the user doesn't see it. It doesn't help in SQL Server Management Studio.
Exactly.
Though.
So, and it's really nice because something like data masking, it doesn't matter what programming language you're using to write that in.
Right.
It just works.
Or if somebody happens to access it through some other means
besides
your application.
Yeah. So I think it's great that with the latest version of SQL Server, Microsoft is really working to address common known business issues.
Are any other ones we should call out?
I think that's the big ones.
Those are the big ones.
I think those are the big ones. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to take in for a few minutes.
That is a lot, considering this is like the 15th version of this product or something.
Yeah.
Like it's a product that Microsoft bought decades ago.
Yeah. So.
And do you have an online presence? Are you writing about this? I know you already said you're speaking about it sometimes.
I do. So I work for a company called Concurrency, just like the programming term.
Uh-huh.
So you can go to concurrency.com.
Isn't that where Carl works?
It is. I work with Carl Schweitzer from
He's
the MS
guy.
Dev Show. Yeah, yeah. We brought him in. Carl and I met for the first time at that conference 3 years ago.
He just reminded me of that.
Yes. So concurrency.com/blog.
Okay.
And I write frequently about SQL Server topics there.
Jess, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, David. So my other hobbies outside of SQL Server are primarily running and cycling. And I do these a lot with my group of friends. We call ourselves Active Mayhem. And when we go out frequently, someone will have an issue with like their Garmin watch or their Fitbit for tracking things. And I, of course, am always the technology expert who has to come to the rescue. So I have recalibrated Fitbits. I have saved Garmin watches. I have introduced them to tracking apps on their smartphones. That's my other job.